Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Should parents of under 18s be held responsible if they break the law? Not the parents, obviously, the children. And the reason I'm kind of asked that, it's a question that comes up time and time again, especially when we hear about teenagers shoplifting, vandalising property or getting caught up in antisocial behaviour. In Ireland, if someone is under the age of 18 and commits a crime, they usually go through the juvenile system. But should the parents be also held accountable? Some would argue that if a child is out stealing and causing trouble, the responsibility lies ultimately with the parents because they should know where they are. Others say that once the kids reach a certain age, they can make up their own minds, they can make their own choices, and punishing the parents isn't the answer. They can't be responsible for their children all the time. But what do you think? Should parents face fines? Antisocial fines? I don't know, 120 quid. Face legal consequences, even have to go to court sometimes, if their child commits a crime? You know, if it's a petty crime, well then, you know, a small fine. If it's a more serious crime, going to court. Or would that be unfair? After all, it would certainly make parents be more conscious of where their kids actually are, rather than just sitting there wondering where they are and is he out robbing the local shop. Because let's be clear, I'm going to be honest about this. I've seen some little tow rags and scuts around shoplifting or doing whatever. And when you see them, there's a kind of look about them, isn't there? If you're a parent, you have to know that your child is a tow rag. You have to know that. You know by his appearance, by their outlook on life, by their attitude, by the people they hang around with. You know, you must know your own kid is a tow rag. And if you do, you should be doing something about it. Would that be, I don't know. Would that be fair to say that you'd know your kid is a tow rag? Anyway, should you be responsible? Look, you can text us or WhatsApp us at 087-188-0008 or go to our socials on Facebook, Classic Hits, or indeed you can go to our Twitter account and it's Classic Hits Radio. In the meantime, let's go to some of our callers. Let me go first of all, there he is. Jerry, hi, how are you?
Not too bad, Niall. Not too bad at all.
Good. Jerry, yeah. Should parents be responsible? Because after all, nothing really, if a kid loots a shop or smashes a window or robs a car at the age of 14, nothing really happens to them. So should parents be responsible?
Well, see, that's the problem, Niall. A 14-year-old, when I was younger, maybe you were younger, it's not the same as a 14-year-old today. And they should lower the age to make them pay for the crime they committed. 14-year-olds are laughing in the face of everybody because they do everything they can possibly do, as many crimes as they can commit, but they know they get away with it. And how the hell can a parent be responsible for a 14-year-old that's a different 14-year-old than when we grew up that's probably threatening the parents? They don't give a shit. So when not the parent's responsible. The state has a responsibility to take these young people these days into hand and lock the little fuckers up. But they're getting away with murder. They're literally getting away with murder. And all we over here is the poor child. And think of the stupidity of a 17-year-old is classed as a child. The next day he could be 18 and he's tried as an adult.
Yep, I know.
But a 17-year-old is not a child.
And by the way, they usually get their slate wiped clean at 18 years of age. You're right. In our day, if you were 14 and you misbehaved and start robbing or whatever, you probably end up in St. Pat's. Then Pat's is gone, of course. They have Oberstown now, but that's usually just for more serious crimes.
But that's full.
Yeah.
But there's a case out there. The judge has no way to put them. They're literally not. But they should.
Yeah,
be
no. They don't give them sentences. They don't. They just assign a juvenile liaison officer to them, a JLO, and that's it. So that's like a badge of honor for these little tow rags.
It is not. I worked in the community long enough in where I live in Tallaght. And when I've seen them, young people I knew, and I tried to help them, I've been involved in a lot. I've been involved in the community. I've been involved in GA or whatever else I've been involved in. Trying to help these young people, they laugh at the cops. Some of them you can save, some of them you can't. But certainly the parents are not responsible for some of the young people I've seen, because the parents were already decent people and couldn't know what to do with them, and they cry telling me what the young people were doing with them. Some of them were threatened with knives. I know one particular person that he stabbed his sister at 14. The parents had to move out of the area. So, I mean, how can parents be responsible?
But surely every parent knows, and I said this at the start, maybe you disagree with me. If you're a parent, you know if your kid's a tow rag.
But But you can't do anything about it. No.
When you're the parent, they're the child. Surely you can do something about it.
The little toe rag would attack you. You try.
No, but they don't. They don't suddenly become toe rags at 16 years of age. You know, at the point where they can attack you. They begin. I mean, I mentioned that I was sent up to do a report many, many years ago up in Talla. There was a fight going on between Jobstown and Killinarden, I think. And they were throwing rocks across the Belgard Road at each other and all this kind of stuff, right? It was like some kind of standoff.
Yeah, I remember.
And I went up to do the report for another radio station at the time. And it was a kid, I'd say he was 10 or 11, no more than that. This is a 9:30 at night, in the dark, and he had a Molotov cocktail in his hand.
Well, no, see, that's, like, you're going to have to lower the age limit for these, as you call them, toe rags. A 12-year-old is a different kettle of fish. But I'd say after 12 years of age, it should be held 100% responsible themselves.
Well, there is an age of criminal responsibility, but we seem to ignore it unless it's a very serious crime. In Ireland, actually, I'm forgetting now, but I think it's either 12 or 13. I get AJ to check it. I know it's a year lower, I think, in the UK than it is in Ireland, or the other way around. The age of criminal responsibility in Ireland, I think it's 13 years of age. And under that age, you cannot be charged unless it's a very serious crime, i.e. rape or murder.
But they know that now. Mm. They know that. And they can go up and rob cars. They can break in. I mean, like in the retail business alone around the city centre, in Talla, Blanchardstown, wherever you're talking about, Coolock, Fingers, doesn't matter where it is, every shop has been terrorised. But then they literally walk in, take stuff off the shelves and walk back out.
And they know nobody can do anything about it.
And nobody can do absolutely do it.
And if the security guard even touches them, they'll have them up for assault.
Of course will. And what would happen? The judge will convict the security guard.
Yeah, because they're all there with their video phones going, you can't blame and touch him. We have it all on video. All he took was a Mars bar. You know?
And how did that gang's from down here and I was trying to break up a fight outside. And there couldn't have been any more than 14 or 15. But a gang came down from a different area after a young person, 14 or 15. And I got the young person out of the way anyway, eventually. But the first thing they did, like what you just said, was take out the mobile phones to figure the assault that we're going to assault this poor innocent child.
That's dreadful.
That's what they do.
Okay, but stay there for a second. Stephen, hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Nice to talk to you. It's been a little while, Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been away. As they say, hospital is not a fun place to be for a month, but there you go.
No, I can honestly attest to that.
I hope you're okay.
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Stephen, should parents be responsible for their children, you know, between the age of 12, I suppose, which is criminal responsibility, up to the age of 18? Should they be responsible?
Well, parents are responsible for their kids anyway, you know, and I don't think that stops at 18. But in terms of if a 12 to 18-year-old commits a crime, I don't think that the parent, you know, should end up being fined or have to do community service or time in prison or anything like that because of what the kid did. And you're right, the majority of under-18s will just be put into the JLO system, which is understaffed, underfunded, like everything else in the
country.
That's
futile.
You know, and with any luck, you know, a decent JLO and community youth workers and things like that might be able to break that cycle and get that particular child onto a better path, but our systems just don't work like that anymore.
But I mean, even if, like, you know what Jerry was talking about, some kid going into a shop and shoplifting, right? Not the worst crime in the world, taking a couple of cans of Coke or a can of beer
or something.
Jerry, I'm not dismissing it. I'm just saying it's not the worst crime.
I know shop assistants that are terrified.
Yeah. The question I was going to ask is, if that kid is grabbed, you know, or the security guard takes him or whatever, I don't know, when the police come and bring him into the station, should that kid's parents get even a fine, Stephen, of 120 quid, you know, a public order fine? Do you think that would actually make a difference where the parents would go, well, hold on for a second now, this bullshit is costing us money, so you need to stop? Whereas at the moment, they don't seem to care, because don't tell me a parent doesn't know if their kid is bad. They do.
Listen, I'm sure parents have an idea. I'm also sure that, you know, a lot of parents don't have any idea that their kids have gone completely off the rails. You know, what parent sees their kid for more than 5 or 10 minutes sometimes in a day? And some parents see them for a lot more than that. You know, between being out with friends, being in school, their parents being in work and all these other kinds of things, you know, the difference between you or I in our day going and, you know, taking a chocolate bar out of the shop or a can of Coke or whatever it is that I most likely am carrying a knife or a phone and, you know, videoing the whole thing.
Mm.
So I'm not saying that every shoplifter does that, you know, and in the grand scheme of things, it's not the worst thing in the world to be doing. But if it's threatening people in their workplace, then there should be more serious
consequences. We don't do anything about it anymore.
The parents aren't going to be able to pay a €120 fine in a lot of cases. If we're talking about areas like Coolock, Talla, Blanchardstown, the suburbs that have been neglected for 20, 30, 40 years, you know, they're not going to be able to afford to pay a fine. And what more problems is that going to create if they can't pay the fine?
Let me give you an example. Myself and Tom, mate of mine, we were kids. We were 10 years of age. We went over to Thrifty's, the supermarket. And I don't know who suggested, me or Tom, that we steal something, right?
Mm.
And we went into the shop. He stole a packet of biscuits, I think. And I stole a tin of boot polish. And I was shitting myself, right? A tin of boot polish. That was only the handiest thing I could see that I could slip into my plastic bag, right? So I got to the counter because I was paying for other stuff that my ma had asked me to get. And the lady says, what else is in the bag? And I said, nothing. And she said, there's something else in the bag. And I said, no, there's not. And she reached into the bag and took out the tin of boot polish. And I said, I bought that in Pat's up the road. And she said, no, you didn't. There's a Thrifty sticker on it, right? So immediately the security fella, Martin was his name, I always remember, lovely guy, came out. And he brought me out the back to the storeroom. I was only about 10. And he terrorised me. He told me he was going to ring me. I know your father, Frank. I'm going to give Frank. I'm like, oh, please don't tell me that. Please don't tell me that. I was sobbing my brains out. He terrorised me for about 20 minutes. Eventually then let me go, right? But you couldn't do that now. Because if you did, he'd be accused of all sorts of things. But it did me the world of good. I never stole a thing again. So it did me the world of good. But we treat kids with kid gloves now. We're not allowed to discipline them. We're not allowed to do anything to them. Years ago, the cops would, you know, if they seen the kids hanging around the corner, they get them a clip across the ear and tell them to go home. There was a different attitude towards it. And I think kids behave themselves generally better.
Probably right. You know, I remember I was at a friend's house, and like that, we were wandering the streets in the area, and the guards came, picked us up and brought us home. And the pair of us burst into tears because we thought we'd like to get the shit kicked out of us.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you know, no parent wants a guard on the doorstep for any reason whatsoever.
Mm.
Do you know?
Yeah.
I think you're right. In a lot of ways, our systems are kind of a little too soft. But there has to be. I'm not talking, you know, terrorize a child and scare the living daylights out of them.
Why not?
For the rest of their lives. But at the same point, having enough of a serious consequence for, you know.
But the serious consequence for me was Martin, the security guy or the guy in charge of the shop, nipped it in the bud at 10 years of age. I didn't get to 12, 13 or 14 for it to get worse.
Yeah.
So he nipped it in the bud at an early age by terrorizing me at 10. When I say terrorizing me, frightened the shit out of me, threatened to call me father and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, you're a 10-year-old and you're terrified of your parents.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a place for something on that scale, but the question is, you know, the problem is the systems in place are not built to deal with, you know, a low level crime like that, or as I said, some kind of intimidation or major shoplifting or, you know, violent assaults anymore.
See,
we wouldn't have
the 20-year-olds with knives and the 20-year-olds fighting in the streets, et cetera, et cetera, if we nipped it in the bud when they were 10 or 11 years of age. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's where we have to catch this crimes. The smaller crimes, the breaking the windows, the throwing the stone at the car, those kind of crimes, they're the ones you have to stop. Because
again,
they're the kids that grow up to be worse.
Social workers, sociologists have been saying this for decades, you know, but the systems just don't keep up with it. And I wonder if there's a thing that some politicians are afraid of, you know, coming down hard on kids.
What about coming down hard on kids? Coming down hard on parents, because okay, you may not be able to do what they did to me in those days, right? By the way, Tom got away with his packet of biscuits, which we ate around the corner afterwards. But here's the thing. We may not be able to do that anymore. But we could certainly, you know, Martin could take me in and then call the cops, and the cops could give your parents a fine, or he could take note of it in a book rather than wasting the cops' time, and the cops give your parents a public order fine of 120 quid.
No, so, the parents weren't responsible in the first place. No, the, seriously, the parents weren't responsible in the first place. And first of all, we can find a girl that's going to attend a crime like that.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. You wouldn't waste their time with crimes like that. Of course.
No, they wouldn't even turn up.
No.
I remember an instance there years ago. I was a taxi driver and was driving in city centre. And I was in the city centre one day. And they used to rob a lot of containers on the docks. But they robbed a night container. And all the kids, these are from deprived areas. They're talking like very deprived areas in the city. Every child was dressed to the nines. It was funny at the time. Because we're all wearing Nike runners, Nike tops, Nike everything. And well,
in the new clothes they stole from the container, yeah.
Yeah, they're only 13, 14. Like, but that was a regular thing down the docks. Like, when you sit in the rank, whoop and ask you what the boys are, they just have robbing out the containers.
Right, okay. Do you ever say that? Yeah, well, hang on, lads. Let me just go to Billy before the break as well. Billy, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall. How are you keeping?
Good. Billy, I don't know whether people have completely missed the point of the conversation. I don't mean that in a bad way towards Jerry and Stephen, but should we start finding parents?
Yes. Simple as yes.
Okay. Public order fines, 120 quid if your kids...
Sorry, I thought I lost you there for a second. Basically, Niall, a parent is responsible for a child until they are the age of 18 or else they emancipate themselves from the parents.
Can you do that? By the way, can you do that in this country? Are you allowed to do that? I know in America.
I think you can do
yes,
so at 17.
You
can emancipate yourself, what, at 16, is it?
16 or 17, I think, Niall. Yeah, but it's something that has to... It's very, very rare that it happens, and it's in extenuating circumstances that it will be granted. But for the most part, a child is under the care of the parent until they're 18. If they're not, they're in the care of the state until they're 18. And as I said, they may well be emancipated. But the parent is responsible for that child. The parent has a duty of care to that child, number one, and is responsible to make sure that they're not, you know, going in the wrong path. And so if that child does something... say again, sorry, Stephen?
So has the state. Children are protected under our constitution.
The state
has ultimate responsibility.
Protected by the state, yes, but it is the parent's duty to give that child a moral grounding and education. Like, the primary educators of all children are parents, after all. So, you know, if the parent is failing in their duty to care for that child and to educate them in the morals of right and wrong in our society, they should damn well be fined for not living up to the responsibilities they have.
So what happens if Johnny and his mate steal a car at 15 years of age and the guards catch them? So obviously they clearly don't have tax insurance and everything else, and they've stolen a car. So where do we go from there? What happens to those kids? Nothing at the moment, by the way.
They should be up in the dock, and mum or dad should be standing there with them. Why was Johnny and his friend out after dark? Why did they steal the car? The parent is responsible at the end of the day for these children. They should be answering the questions along with
the kids. So should the judge turn around and say, okay, I'm imposing a €500 fine to be paid by the parents?
Yes.
Would that be fair? Stephen, is that fair? Do you think that's a good idea?
Hold on, just to clarify something. If the parent is unable to pay the fine, there should be a community service order put in place for the parent and the child to do collectively. And maybe the parent will be able to talk to the child and understand why they did what they did, or to tell them, you have me in this situation now. I'm responsible for you, and we're both in this mess together.
Yeah, I think something like a restorative justice approach is probably a good way to go in terms of helping everyone understand the consequences of their actions and coming to better understandings of it and figuring out, you know, obviously the rights and the wrongs of it. I don't know whether it's fair or not to give somebody a fine. I just question what good it's actually going to do.
Well, they always say you should hit people in the pocket, Stephen, because it works better than anything else, generally speaking. You know, I mean,
but
depending on how much
right
somebody
now.
Earns, you know what I mean? If somebody's on welfare, for example, 120 quid fine is a big deal. You know what I mean?
No. Many times have you seen in the courts parents pleading with the judge to lock the child up?
I personally haven't seen it, but I've heard about it. Yeah, I've heard about it.
No, I mean, it has happened, though.
Yeah.
And they pleaded. They're at the wit's end, because I've dealt with them in the community. I've dealt with young people.
But hold on for a second. Whose fault is it that they're at a stage where a parent is begging a judge to lock a 15-year-old up? Whose fault is that? That's the parent's fault.
It's not necessarily the parent's fault for failing the parent.
Ah, come on. Somebody has to be responsible. It's just not nobody's fault.
Yeah, the individual who committed the crime is responsible.
But if that individual is under the age of 18, Stephen, you know, they are a ward of the parent until they turn 18.
And the age of criminal responsibility is 12.
Is 12, correct, yeah.
So the child under the age of 18 can be held responsible for their actions legally.
No, but I want to get back to what I was just talking about. So a 15-year-old who, you know, steals a car with his mates and drives it and crashes it into a wall, and the guards arrest the three of them.
They're going to Oberstown. There's no ifs or buts.
They're not going to Oberstown. No.
In an isolation cell in Mountjoy somewhere.
But they don't at the moment. They walk out of court. They don't go anywhere. They don't. Nothing
Oberstown
happens to them. They just get a JLO.
Oberstown is full.
No, they just
but
get a JLO.
You know, somebody who does something that serious deserves to go to
prison. It doesn't seem in Ireland that's serious. Because I watched that program, The K, was it a go back a while ago? I think it was on repeat on RTE. And that's exactly what happened. There was three kids in it, and they had been drinking, and they stole a car and crashed it. And the guards arrest them. And the auntie comes up or something like that, and she's given out to the guards. And the kids' faces are all blurred out, obviously, in the video because they're minors. And the narrator said something along the lines of, you know, they got a JLO or they got a suspended sentence or whatever it was. Right, so nothing really happens. Nothing happens. So here's the thing. What I said earlier on there, when Jerry said there are parents in the court begging the judges to lock their kids up, but why has it got to that point? You're saying it's the crime's fault, Stephen. It's not. If you're a parent, you are responsible for your child. It didn't just start at 15. It started long before that. You should have copped it.
No, some people are just bad. You've got to realize.
No, they're not.
Well.
There's nobody born bad.
The other side of things is we as a society have started to let people away with things. So there was a report there recently that some retail stores are not taking or not catching shoplifters anymore because they're afraid of being sued for defamation.
Yeah, what was it? The same in the UK and America is that it's anything under €250, it's not worth going after them.
You know. So we've made it so you can go in and you can shoplift, and you know if you get caught, you can sue for defamation, and you will probably win, unless there's very, very solid grounds. So that's
crazy. We've become a very litigious society. And by the way, they're trying to change the law currently at the moment. Defamation cases are quite expensive to take, thankfully, right? Otherwise, everybody would be suing each other. But they're trying to change the law. It's a topic we must do some night, actually. They want to change the law to make defamation. Or defamation cases available under the Free Legal Aid Act. And I think that would be the craziest thing we would ever do in society, because all of a sudden you'll have neighbours suing each other. You'll have everybody suing each other. It'll be ridiculous. You know what I mean?
The criminals have now become the victims.
Mm.
Yep. That's what's
going back
on.
To what you were saying about, you know, kids aren't born bad. I'm inclined to agree. I do think everybody learns to be bad.
No, it's nurture. It's not nature.
Or a combination of experiences. We're not born hateful or evil or anything like that. We are taught to become that way.
I don't even believe the likes of Jeffrey Dahmer or anybody is born.
Problems with families or whatever it is.
I don't believe serial killers or murderers or rapists are born evil. I don't believe anybody's born evil. It's nurture. It's not nature.
Yeah. No, obviously not going to mention it. I know one family, and I know them really, really well. And the one particular child, he was born bad. He stabbed his sister. And I know the parents really, really well. And those parents did everything for this child. Everything. They cried and cried and cried, and I talked to them crying. They went to the guards. That young fella this day is still a scumbag. And he's a lot older. And he's an outright scumbag, I tell
you. Sorry,
Billy. His parents, as I said, had to move to get away from him.
Yeah, Billy.
I do agree with you, Niall. It is the experiences and what people do throughout their life. Like, I don't think there's many 7 or 8 year olds who are just bad kids. Like, it's, you know, they might do stupid stuff, but I don't think any of them are bad by nature. But they develop that nature over time. They develop that badness over time. Like,
yeah, depending on who they're hanging around with.
It's learned. It's learned behavior. It's acting the hard man. As you said, learned behavior that happens over a period of time. And by the time they're getting to 10, 11, 12, they're getting cheeky. They know they can get away with things, and they keep pushing the envelope. And there are no consequences there because, you know, we've taken away all the consequences in society. And it's a case that when, as you said, the three lads steal the car and they crash into a wall and are drinking, that the liberal side of politics will say, oh, well, it's a societal issue. It's a case of, you know...
No, we fail them. Yeah, we fail them. Yeah.
Society has failed these children. It's a case of, well, you know, how has society failed them? It's given them free education. It's down to the parents who have not, you know, have not set rules and discipline. And, you know, as one of the other callers said, the state is responsible.
We don't have enough.
We don't have enough what, Stephen?
Adults. Sorry? If we don't have enough good people supervising kids, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, if society isn't working properly, then children are going to end up being problems for society.
Yeah, it does take a village to raise a child, you're right, but Billy is right also. Yeah, that starts at home. Stephen and Billy, hang on with me. Jerry, listen, thank you very much indeed. I'll come to Oisin after the break. We're asking, should parents be responsible or held responsible if their kids break the law, i.e. get a fine, have to go to court, as Billy said, if it's a more serious crime? Should the parents be ultimately responsible as well? After all, they are the guardians of the children. Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, 087-188-0008. Back in a second. Let me just get this little button here. Well, let me go to Oisin. Stephen and Billy, stay with me there for a second. Oisin, whose responsibility is a child when they commit a crime? Well, let's say a child, a 15-year-old teenager.
It's the parents.
Ultimately, it is their responsibility. Okay, so...
Yes, the parents, Noel. Sorry, how are you? I was in hospital myself there for the last week with pneumonia.
Oh, God, help me. Jesus Christ, the hospitals must be full at the moment.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm not joking with you.
You know what the worst thing about hospitals is? It's the most boring place in the world.
Oh, no. I mean, it is, though. It is. But you're on hospital time. You're not normal time. You're on hospital
time. Yeah, and then
time.
The other thing was, the doctor said, now you need to get plenty of rest. And like 6 o'clock in the morning, a nurse comes in. I want to take your obs. Another one comes in 5 later. I need to take some bloods. Somebody comes in. I'm going to your room.
I go, I'm sorry. You have to give you steroids. I have to give you. Know, have to give you antibiotics.
Yeah, you don't sleep at all.
I'm sorry. Sorry about this. And and then you might get maybe an hour and a half, and then it's breakfast. And it continues on for the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next.
You're
day,
dying to get home day. Just to get a rest. Yeah.
I thought you actually, in fairness.
Okay, sorry, Oisin. Back to the topic at hand. I mean, Stephen makes the point that, you know, it's not really the kid's fault, it's the crime's fault. And I know what he means by saying that.
So do I, in fairness. I do. Peer pressure and so on and so
forth.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
My kids now, I've got to be honest with you. I know I sent in a message there and I set a rule with an iron fist. I'm not an ogre. But I've always told them, never have a guard at my door and never get yourself in trouble. Ever. And if you think you're going to get yourself in trouble, come and talk to me first. I know that's counterproductive, but the whole point there is that I don't want hassle off anybody. And my kids know me. They know me very, very well. If you start bringing hassle home here, the hassle's going to come back down on top of your shoulders.
I don't know what age your kids are now. What age are your kids?
My son is 17, my daughter's 15.
Okay, so your 15-year-old daughter. Do you know where she is all of the time?
No, unfortunately.
Should you know where she is all the time?
I don't think they're ever going to tell you. You might have a rough idea.
Would you put an app on her phone to track her?
I have done that, yes. And that sounds really, really bad.
No, I don't think it's bad. I think she's 15. You're entitled to know where she is.
I want to know where she is. And I've always said to my kids, I want to know you're safe. I want to know you're in good company. And on top of that, if something happens, you ring me and you let me know before hassle starts. But look, obviously, hassle starts and it starts. You can't be, you know, in six different places at the same time. You know what I mean? Hmm. No, I don't. I've always, since I got old, I wouldn't say older and older, since I got much older, I've always told them, I don't want hassle. Do not cause me hassle.
And they haven't caused you any hassle.
And in fairness, I've got to be honest with you. Apart from the odd argument,
they're good kids, yeah.
Curse word. I've got to
Look, they're teenagers. You know, they're going to give cheek every now
they
and
then. They are, I know. You get abused and used, you know. But I've got to be honest with you. They haven't caused me, to a certain extent, an ounce of hassle.
Billy, by the way, can I ask you, Billy, is it irresponsible? I know you don't have children yourself. But is it irresponsible not to know where your 15-year-old is?
Yeah, they're 15. You have a duty of care to them.
Exactly.
100%
yep.
Irresponsible not to know where they are. And, you know,
yep.
I, 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 I understand you have a tracker on your daughter, and I understand.
No, he doesn't. I just asked him, would he? No. Some people do.
No. But, like, I can see why there's a moral thing there where you kind of go, is this an invasion of privacy? But on the other side of things, should 15-year-olds have privacy where you shouldn't know where they are? I don't think so.
They can have all the privacy in the world when they're 18 years of age.
Well, this is it. Sorry for cutting in there. I mean, back when I was younger, same as yourself and same as probably, what was the last caller?
Stephen and Billy.
Stephen, I apologise. You know, my parents were to knock the living crap out of me. Now, they weren't, I'm not saying they were violent, but they weren't averse to a good slap every now and again.
See, when I was a kid, it was a different world.
In the literal sense.
Yeah, my parents didn't know where I was at 13, but that was a different world.
And
my dad, rightly so, if I ever got into trouble, my dad would knock seven shades of shite out of me, right?
My father was the same with me now, I've got to be honest with you.
And you'd be in your room for a week. But that doesn't seem to happen anymore. But I can honestly say, and I don't know, Stephen, whether you believe me or not, because I get the impression, maybe, Stephen, that you don't think you can permanently know where your children are. But when my kids were between the ages, say, you know, my kids are all in around the same age, between 13 and 15 all at one time, I knew exactly where they were all of the time. Do you believe me, Stephen?
I'm sure you did, and rightly so. And if my parents asked me where I was going when I was a teenager, I would have told them where I was going. Certainly when I was younger than, we'll say, 15, you know, if I was out, you know, after, say, 10 o'clock or something like that as a kid, my parents would know where I was. At 13, my kids would have been out after 10 o'clock. Further than the end of the road or anything like that.
I wasn't
that kind of a kid, but certainly in my teenage years, you know, my parents, whether they wanted to know where I was or not, you know, I guarantee at least one of them was awake until I put my key in the door coming home. Mm. You know, the odd time I was out.
Actually, funny enough, sorry for cutting across there, my mum was prolific with that. We could be out at 1 or 2 in the morning, and she would be the one person who'd wake up. Now, I don't mean my father wouldn't.
Yeah,
but
most Irish mothers did sleep with one eye open.
By the front door.
I know.
Where were you? Yeah. What time do you call this?
That didn't happen in my life until I was 17. That wasn't a 13 or 14 years of age. I can tell you now, my 13-year-old, when they were 13, weren't out at 10 o'clock at night. Nor was I, by the way, when I was 13 years of age. I was in the house by 9. 10 o'clock at the very latest, maybe on a summer night.
Yeah, no, even my daughter now, I know it sounds really hard and tough. With my daughter, it's like, listen, where are you now? Okay, right, grand. Are you safe? Okay, that's grand. Make sure you're home by 9:30 because you got to school tomorrow.
Yeah. That's reasonable.
Honest, apart from the odd time, she might be 15 minutes late.
All right, we're going to have a little bit of a tangent, but I know it's all connected. But you do believe, Oisin, that parents should be fined under the Public Order Act if kids are misbehaving?
If they're out causing ructions and it's happening every
They're stealing, they're shoplifting,
time.
I don't know, they're smashing a window of a car.
No, it's the parents' fault. Hmm. The parents should be held liable because they're not doing their job. They're not doing their job as a parent. They're not bringing the kids up in the right way. Now, obviously, everybody has a different way of raising children. But, I mean, if your kids are out causing hassle, they're stealing, they're robbing, they're beating people up, they're being little scumbags. And let's be honest, that's exactly what they are. It's ultimately the parents' problem.
Stay there for a second. I want to go to Adam just before the break. Adam, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, Adam. Adam, whose fault is it when a child goes wayward at 15 and starts robbing or smashing up cars or whatever it is? Whose fault is that?
It's the parents' fault. Hmm. But the big issue here is parents have stopped parenting, and their version of parenting that we didn't have is they're literally chucking their kids in front of a smartphone when they're 6 years old, playing Grand Theft Auto when they're 9 years old. What can we expect these children to do? But I think the biggest issue here runs through from teenage years right through to when they then find themselves before the adult criminal courts. And we hear people keep on saying, these children, they don't know what the consequences of their actions are, and all this absolute bollocks. At the end of the day, if a 14 and 15-year-old person doesn't know that there are consequences to walking around the streets with a knife, walking into somebody else's house and removing property, walking into a shop and removing property, you failed as a parent.
That's a fair
point. How have you dragged these children up if they do not know that it is wrong to steal from people, carry a knife, and that consequences follow a wrong action? How can you possibly believe that you've been successful as a parent?
No, you've got a very good point. At 14, 15 years of age, easily, they know what right and wrong is.
If they don't, you fail.
As a parent, you're right, you failed.
Yeah, we refer to these people as children because they're under 18. But this is where we do fail as a society. They're not children. Because the minute you put children into a sentence, people naturally look at this little five-year-old boy. These are not children. These are young adults. And if they've got to that age and do not understand that there's consequences to actions like that, then there's serious issues with the parenting. But I agree that they should be fined on the first occasion and possibly on the second occasion. I believe the parents should get a fine. On the third occasion, I think that the family should have their passport confiscated for 12 months. Hit them where it hurts. Because at the end of the day, if these teenagers are out committing criminal activity, in a lot of cases, financially motivated activity when it comes to shoplifting, low-level drug dealing, 120 quid fine, the kid will just say, it's all right, man, I've got the money to do that, because they think it's a badge of honour.
Mm. But still, the parent becomes involved, and that may make them stand up and take some action.
Yeah, and then people keep on referring to these young adults as they don't know what the consequences are. And that's almost conditioning these scrotes that's a way through life. Because then what do we hear when they end up in adult court? We hear it time and time again. They had a very difficult childhood. A lot of people have a difficult childhood, but a very small percentage of them go out and commit serious crimes.
That's the lie in the Free Legal Aid Solicitor usually says. He's had a difficult upbringing, Your Honour.
Well, think about it. They've been told that their whole life. Oh, yeah, but he was only 14. He didn't realise that if he stabbed somebody, there was a consequence.
Mm. And I only saw that, actually, going back a couple of weeks ago. He was in Dublin City at an event, and there was a kid. The guards came in to get some CCTV footage of a kid out at a bus stop. He was 14, and he pulled a knife on someone. Now, thankfully, he didn't stab anybody. He pulled a knife on somebody to threaten them. And the guards are kind of saying, all we can do is take the knife off him. Because he's a minor. So they can take the knife off him. They can attempt to charge him with, you know, possession of under the Firearms Act, I think it is, isn't it? Possession of a weapon. But nothing is actually going to happen.
You literally have to commit murder or rape for a child to be sentenced.
Sorry, Stephen?
I think I was just about to say something similar to what the other speaker was going to say. This all comes down to a massive failure of the systems to be able to deal with these things. You know, like even giving a parent a fine, if the parent can't pay the fine, what do you do? Do you garner their social welfare or do you garner their salary for...
Well, you do, yeah. You put an attachment order. Yeah, an attachment order.
Again, that takes up court time, that takes up guard time, that takes up
it doesn't.
Revenue time. It does, because you have to have a court order to...
Not anymore. Billy, I'm sure, will correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think back in 2019 in December, during COVID-19, actually 2021, I think, during December 2021, they changed the law regarding that. Very few people knew about it at the time because we were all too busy worrying about COVID. And the president signed it. The revenue commissioners now, and I'm assuming the same for the social welfare, they don't have to go to court anymore for an attachment order.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they do have to go to court.
Billy, do you remember that? There was something signed to make it easier for them to do that.
I don't know. I'd have to look that up for you. It doesn't ring.
Because I remember people giving out about going, they've done that very sneakily. Christmas, just in the middle of COVID, when everybody was giving out about COVID, they always say a great time to bury bad news, you know?
It does make very good sense, considering the time that it was, and it was probably easier to do it that way than to go and get the attachment orders, so.
Mm-hmm. As far as I know, they don't have to go to court for every attachment order now. Anyway, I got to take a quick break. Adam, Stephen, Billy, if you can stay with me, please do. Bernie be on after the break. The number, I want to get a female perspective on this as well. The number is 087-188-0008. All right, let me go to Bernie. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand, Niall. How are you tonight?
I'm okay. You've heard the conversation so far. So I think we're all kind of very much in agreement that somebody has to be responsible. Although Stephen is saying, you know, there should be some level of consequence for the child rather than just the parents, that sometimes children go wayward. And parents are doing their best, I suppose, is the point he's trying to make.
Yes, in that case, yeah, I understand. But I do think this is the responsibility of the parents if a child is under 18. he's still a minor under the law, and you know, he has the family have to take the responsibilities for their actions. Even though, you know, he's
by the way, we all keep saying his. By the way, can I point out it could be yours too? I just don't want somebody giving out to me saying, "Hey, teenager, women commit crimes too." You know,
the teenager,
yeah,
whoever. And like, I would like to know. I mean, I have grandchildren that age now, and you know, their parents are responsible. They don't have to know where they have to drop them somewhere or bring them somewhere. They're responsible for the way they rear them to now. And they're responsible that they know the difference between right and wrong. And that's my responsibility. That's everybody's responsibility in rearing a child. Mm. We all have a hand and part in it and telling them what's right and wrong, what's good or bad.
And do you know if your child is on the wrong path? If your child is 14 and hanging around with the wrong people and stealing or doing, like, should you know these things? Some parents say, geez, I had no idea that's what he was up to when he was out.
Yeah. I think you have to have a good, you have to try and develop a positive relationship with your children. And then it's really sad, you know, if both parents are so busy working, they give the child everything. They don't really know the child because, you know, they see themselves as, I'm working really hard to provide this great life for my child, but they don't actually know their child.
Mm.
You know, you need to know your child. You need to sit down with them. You need to be with them. You need to bring them. They need to be part. They're part of your life. You brought them into the world. They're part of your life for life. But until they get to 18 and try to make their own way in life, we are responsible in guiding and directing them as best we can. And the people we bring around them, it's all of our responsibility. If a parent is lagging or falling behind, or we see it as a grandparent, it's up to us to kind of bring that horrible, you know, he's a bit bold in the playground, whatever. You say it.
Mm. Because it does start at a very young age, and Stephen pointed that earlier on as well. Stephen, can I ask Stephen, is there a point, Stephen, where at 16 or 17 that you can just abandon your responsibility and say, look, I throw my hat in the ring here. There's nothing I can do about this young fella or young one, whatever it is. They've just gone in the wrong direction. I can't stop them. I've tried keeping them in the house. They climb out the window. And I've heard that before. And they might have three other kids who are all angels.
I know teenagers that have been in the same situation, you know, where they've just decided to disassociate entirely from parents or society and just go off and do their own thing, you know. At that point, the parent has lost control, and most likely most of the arms of society have lost influence. Control is the wrong word, influence over their child.
But there's nothing wrong with the word. There's nothing wrong with the word control when we're talking about a child. You have a responsibility to control the behavior of your child.
Yeah, you do. But at the same point, that child is of an age where they have enough reason and understanding to be able to make their own decisions. You know, you trust your children at 14, 15 and 16 to know that what you taught them when they were younger kids was good, bad, right, wrong, which all parents do. You trust them to remember that, surely. I'm not a parent, so I can't say, but I'm old enough now to kind of understand where and what my parents were talking to me about when I was a kid.
Mm.
You know, I do think that, you know, it is a massive failing, and we've allowed it to happen over decades, that there aren't enough places for kids to go at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. You know, youth projects that I've worked in closed at 9 o'clock.
I don't know whether that I used to hear this argument. Yeah, but Stephen, I used to hear this argument years ago when we were talking about the spate of car robberies in Tala, and we were covering it on the radio about 20 years ago, maybe 2001, and it was the argument from the parents who used to ring into the show in Tala. They say, "But there's nothing for them to do up here." And I'm going, what are you talking about? There was nothing for me to do when I was 14 years of age. Actually, less for me to do. You know, you've got cinemas up there. You've got bowling alleys. You've got all sorts of things. There's loads of things for them to do. But I didn't go out robbing cars.
If children don't have, they're not going to be able to.
No, my parents didn't have money.
And if families don't have, they're not going to take part in.
Yeah, my parents didn't have much money.
Again, you're talking about areas, not to decimate the entire area of Tala.
No, not at all, of course, no.
You know, but if the parents aren't able to provide that kind of disposable income for their children to go off and do and take part in these things, and parents' budgets are stretched tight enough, I'm sure you hear that on a daily basis, you know, given the cost of living that we're in for the last 30 years, you know, but this is a thing where we need more services. It shouldn't be a thing where we have a problem with enough Gardaí. There shouldn't be a problem where we don't have enough community services or youth services or drug and alcohol services or juvenile liaison officers or any other thing that you can possibly think of to name in a country that is as rich and well-funded and well-ordered reasonably as we are.
Stay there. Well, stay there. I just want to bring Cormac again. I've only got 3.5 minutes here. And Adam or Bernie, if you want to jump in at any stage, please do. Cormac, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall.
Cormac, very quickly, who's responsible ultimately when 15-year-old Johnny robs stuff out of a shop?
15-year-old's responsible. I regard myself as a right-winger and very conservative, but some of your contributors are further right than Genghis Khan. And they're expressing typical middle and upper class views on reality. They're talking about reducing the voting age to 15 in this country at the moment.
No, now, 16. To, and that's only for presidential elections, but go on, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right. If you listen to your last contributor, he should listen back to what he said himself. He's describing 15-year-olds as adults, and he wants an adult to be responsible for another adult. That is absolutely ludicrous. And by the way, Niall, one of your earlier contributors, no, I agree with...
I do want to hold on. To clarify, I don't think it was Stephen who said that. It was actually Adam said that young teenagers are not children. They're young adults. It was Adam who said that.
No, well, it was your last male contributor described 15-year-olds as young adults.
I don't
remember. And said they were going around robbing cars and so on and so forth.
I don't remember Stephen saying that.
No, he didn't.
Now, just to clarify, he didn't say it. It was actually Adam that said that, but go on.
It was me that said that.
All right.
That.
Yeah.
Now, one of your earlier contributors made a comment to you, which I thoroughly agree with. You don't believe that some children are born evil. If you look at the history of exorcisms on a worldwide basis... hold on a second now. Most of the most devious people who have required exorcism are children. Now, some of those children, in fairness, have been suffering with attention deficit syndrome. They can be violent from the age of 3 to 4. Mm. That went undiagnosed in this country for maybe 30 years. And some of these children were extremely violent at the age of 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And they were regarded as evil. They weren't evil. They just had an illness. But some children are born evil, Niall. And that is an undeniable fact. If you look at the history of exorcisms on a worldwide basis, some of the most deviant and evil people have been under 6 and 7 years of age.
I know.
Can I ask you a question? Do you believe that people are born a shoplifter, born a joyrider, or born with the intention of walking around the streets carrying a knife threatening people?
No, I don't believe that. But you,
right.
You
so we're not,
said...
You've got
you,
the far
you
extremes
stated,
here.
You stay.
No, but hang on. To be fair to Cormac, apart from the exorcism part, he is saying that there are children who are born with mental health difficulties.
We're talking about the average shoplifter as a 15-year-old, the average person who goes out stealing a car as a 15-year-old. They tend not to be the people who have got the underlying mental health issues that have never been in today's society recognised. 30 years ago, they may not have been recognised. But in today's world, we have mental health forced down our throat as often as a vegan will tell you they're vegan.
That's a fair point, yeah. I mean, I imagine 50 years ago, Cormac, people, it hasn't changed in 50 years, the amount of people with attention and deficit disorder. The only difference is we now diagnose it. We didn't 50 years ago. Children who had those kind of disorders at the time, you know, were basically just shunned, stigmatised and pushed to the side.
What's this gentleman's name?
His name is Adam, and yet there's been an increase in antisocial behaviour. So that does well. What you're saying then doesn't make sense.
Adam, you said earlier, if you listen to your own words, that 15-year-olds were adults, and you want another adult.
I know what my words were. I never said that a 15-year-old was an adult.
He said it was a young adult.
I said a 15-year-old is a young adult.
Yes, and you want an old adult. You want an old adult to be responsible for a young adult.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
If you want to quote me on what I said, quote it correctly.
You don't have to defend that, Adam. Yes, you want an old adult, a mature adult over the age of 18, to be responsible and a guardian for what is known as a young adult. A child is known as a young adult, generally speaking, from the age of 14 up to 18. They're referred to sometimes as young adults. I don't always agree with the term, by the way, because they're still minors.
I regard them as adults.
Hmm. Well, at 14?
Yes.
Would you stop out there?
Yes, in this day and age. Well, they're talking about reducing the voting age to 15.
No, where are you getting that from? 16. They wanted to reduce the voting age in presidential elections to 16. I don't agree. By the way, I don't agree with that because there are some intelligent 16-year-olds around, but there's also some 16-year-olds who couldn't tie their shoelaces.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.